There is no moon tonight. Stars appear one by one, forming incomplete constellations. Scorpio, Cassiopeia, Draco, Sagittarius, and the Big Dipper. Like a solitary diamond, Venus glows on the soft flare in the west, following the sun. Thou fair-haired angel of the evening, now whilst the sun rests on the mountains, light thy bright torch of love, thy radiant crown put on, and smile upon our evening bed. Smile on our loves. In the mixture of starlight and cloud-reflected sunlight in which the desert world is now illuminated, each single object stands forth in preternatural, though transient, brilliance, a final assertion of existence before the coming of night. Each rock and shrub and tree, each flower, each stem of grass, diverse and separate, vividly isolate, yet joined each to every other in a unity which generously includes me and my solitude as well. Or so it seems at the moment, as my fire dies to a twist of smoke and a heap of rubies, and for a moment I think I've almost caught a falling star. There is no mystery. There is only paradox, the incontrovertible union of contradictory truths. A falling star which melts into vapor as I grasp it, which flows through my fingers like water, like smoke.
The peace of wild things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
When the night wind makes the pine trees creak and the pale clouds glide across the dark sky, go out, my child, go out and seek your soul, the eternal eye. For all the grass is rustling at your feet, and every flaming star that glitters high above you, close up and meet in you, the eternal eye. Yes, my child, go out into the world, walk slow and silent, comprehending all, and by your soul, the universe, will know itself, the eternal eye.
The other word that I want to teach you is called Tikkun Olam. It's a Hebrew word, and it means repair of the world. It means literally repair of the world's soul. The idea being that every day the world's soul becomes unraveled in some way, and that we are the menders of it, each of us. If you could imagine a great big blanket that we all have hold of the edge of it, and the blanket covers the entire world, and every single person has both hands on the edge of that huge blanket. Well, the blanket begins to unravel. And in the Judaic religion, it's a moral responsibility to repair the world every single day. And the repair of the world is done by repairing yourself every single day. And for as far as you can reach, your family, your friends, your loved ones, the people that you work with, helping them and encouraging them to also repair themselves. And in this way, the world is kept resilient and strong day after day, week after week, year after year, and it takes everyone in order to do it. It's through shining the light not only into the dark corners of the world or into the culture or into, you know, the bureaucracy, but shining the light into the dark corners of self that begins to eradicate them, take you might say, the demons of our minds, the complexes that assail us, the negativities that distort our creative lives and so forth, and reduce them, take the energy out of them so they become little black cinders. They become, in other words, beginnings again. The dit or the dot or the black cinder is often the symbol of the seed. It means that whatever was is no more, and that it's now been reduced down to some kind of new potential that, if planted and nurtured, will grow into something else under conscious light rather than in the dark.
Sacred ground we walk upon. we shall succeed, be a spiritual revolution. An evolution from Homo sapiens sapien, revealingly redundant, to Homo economicus, well put, Max Oeschlager, to Homo naturalis. I will proceed directly to the heart of my sermon, which, for the sake of revolutionary gender reclamation, I drop the sir and add a ma'am, making this not a sermon, but a mammon. Yes! Yes, Buchanan, I said mammon. Which speaks to the natural and pantheistic instead of the mechanical and sadistic. We are talking about exchanging biopornography for biophilia. Pornography. That is the structure of domination which has replaced English as our national language. Everything translated into what I can possibly control or consume without being touched, changed, challenged, or connected. A language which transforms women into meat, animals into meat products, poor men into machines, and rich men into gods. But in their attempts to become gods, they have lost their souls. We all have. That is why I am up here preaching my mammon. God did not throw us out of Eden. Brothers and sisters, we are throwing ourselves out every industrious day. The apple Eve ate was good. Sweet. But what about the apples now with their red, shiny, pesticidal coverings? Satan in the shape of Monsanto. But it's okay. I can afford organic. Single, white, educated. I don't have children to feed. There will be poor with us always. Let them eat the pesticide-riddled fruit. Ha! Joke. Riddle. On us. Genocide continues. Organic for the rich, toxic. Tap water for the poor. We have a lot of work to do if this re-evolution is really going to happen and save us. So, let us talk about salvation. And I do not mean a peach smoothie and a massage. I am talking about saving this planet and the people with it. How will we be saved? The environmental catastrophe appears overwhelming. We are afraid we cannot think our way out of this mess. Of course not. We must feel our way out. We must learn to listen with our hearts and our hands. If you are not in your body, you are not making sense, literally. It is disembodied discourses that have got us into this crisis. We have worshipped the false gods of logic, progress, productivity, practicality. If destroying the earth for short-sighted economic profit is intelligent, reasonable, then please, God, make me a moron! This is a spiritual revolution about finding our ways back to the land, finding ways to be fed, spiritually fed. And it is not easy. I know. I know. I myself have strategized on ways to make my plans fit their pathology. I have walked through the shadow of political expedience. Once I had a campaign I thought I'd do this whole campaign about changing the environmental reference to this earth from Mother Earth to Father Planet. Yeah. You see, I read all those, you know, those bumper stickers that were out. You know, those with the green earth globes that said, love your mother. And I despaired. I knew there was no hope. And I'm not even referring to the irony of having pro-planet language on the back of a car. Hallelujah. I am referring to the slogan, love your mother. It won't work. What? America hates its mothers. I thought of Mother's Day and the men who give the mother of their children sentimental harlequin cards, then beat, rape, and silence them the other 364 days. No, I thought. No wonder we have an environmental crisis if we treat the earth the way we treat our mothers. We think mothers are made to be exploited. They are supposed to give and give and ask nothing in return. They are supposed to have infinite resources. All good mothers are willing to be drained, damned, and depleted for their children. Mothers live for their baby's feeding schedule, and there is always a little milk left for Exxon, Texaco, International Paper, and the U.S. military. I mean, I thought, but if nature was perceived as male, then maybe everything would be different. Think about it. I mean, it might not be nice to fool Mother Nature, but if you mess with Father Planet, he'll beat the shit out of you. Hail, hurricane and all. Yeah, and then maybe environmentalists would get the respect they deserve. No longer mama's boys and girls. Maybe they would be treated like real men and the real women who love real men. A name change to Father Planet is not enough. Fathers and mothers, we both need to be saved if this planet is going to survive. The environmental crisis points to a total ideological and spiritual crisis. Including the earth in the economic equation is not enough. We are destroying the earth for reasons that are bigger than economics. You see, we are afraid of death. We are afraid of this earth, this nature that will bring us back to dust. We are afraid of the dust and the dirt that will claim us, or the waters that we came from, and thus afraid of women's bodies, the bridges by which we walk this earth. An intellectual atheist, performance artist in spiritual crisis wrote this sermon. Because this revolution is about a religion in one of its original meanings, relinking, reconnecting the lives of women raped and murdered daily are fought in this struggle. The lives of indigenous peoples are fought in this struggle. The men and women lost in the empty addiction of power, these infantile gods, will grow into their souls if we win. We must win. If the pioneers had a manifest destiny to colonize, control, and consume, then the pioneer should have a mammoth destiny to decolonize, create, and commune. But this must be a spiritual revolution. Not just the environment, separate and distinct from its home and all and everything. You see, if this is a spiritual revolution, if we get to feel as we fight, if we just get to feel as we fight, then we have already won. Amen. A women. A planet. Our soul.
Earth verse. Wide enough to keep you looking. Open enough to keep you moving. Dry enough to keep you honest. Prickly enough to make you tough. Green enough to go on living. Old enough to give you dreams.
Someone's job and pay. When will we understand? No one will have a job if we destroy this land. No, 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 no. Someone's playing God, deciding what you feel alive and what should not. Someone plays with fire, but you know we're only building our own funeral pyre. How can we sit here intellectualizing when we know what's happening is wrong? Causing mass extinction while doctors use machines on human lives to prolong. If someone's playing God, deciding who should be alive and who should not. If someone plays with fire, but you know he's only building his own funeral pyre. The few who live in luxury. Perhaps it's up to you and I. To save this world, we'll have to put up one hell of a good fight. Or do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can, do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can, do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can, do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can. But you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the
people say that what we're all seeking is a meaning for life. I don't think that's what we're really seeking. I think what we're seeking is an experience of being alive.
I will not dance to your war drum. I will not lend my soul nor my bones to your war drum. I will not dance to that beating. I know that beat. It is lifeless. I know intimately that skin you are hitting. It was alive once, hunted, stolen, stretched. I will not dance to your drummed up war. I will not pop, spin, break for you. I will not hate for you or even hate you. I will not kill for you. Especially, I will not die for you. I will not mourn the dead with murder nor suicide. I will not side with you or dance to bombs because everyone is dancing. Everyone can be wrong. Life is a right, not collateral or casual. I will not forget where I come from. I will craft my own drum, gather my beloved near, and our chanting will be dancing. Our humming will be drumming. I will not be played. I will not lend my name nor my rhythm to your beat. I will dance and resist and dance and persist and dance. This heartbeat is louder than death. Your war drum ain't louder than this breath.